Hello, Virginia Heffernan here. What you're about to hear is a teaser for today's episode of TrumpCast, which is available in full for Slate Plus members only. See how tempted you are now to sign up for Slate Plus? We've made 1 in 4 episodes exclusive to Slate Plus members because they help support the work we do on TrumpCast and help fund other Slate podcasts like Slow Burn and Charged. To sign up and hear this episode and every episode of TrumpCast in full, please visit slate.com/TrumpCastPlus. It's only $35 for the first year. That is zlotys a day. And you'll get other benefits like ad-free podcasts and discounted tickets to live Slate events. So sign up now at slate.com/TrumpCastPlus. And thanks for listening. Hello and welcome to TrumpCast. I'm Virginia Heffernan. Rough week. Paris was burning. Trump was a psycho con about it. Trump is still president. New York's daily broadsheet is still quoting the DNC's hacked emails. The Barr report tomorrow is expected to be a redaction of justice that hands more talking points to Trump world. And Monday was tax day. And I'm feeling sorry for myself as a violin, please, single mom of 2 with 3 jobs on the hook for $17,000 more than I was last year. Putain! What a week. Thus, I bring you Dahlia Lithwick. She's my light in the storm. Is that what it's called? My port in the storm? Dahlia is the host of Slate's Amicus, as she taught me to pronounce it, and a veteran senior writer for Slate. She is at work on a book about women and the law called Lady Justice. Dahlia, welcome to TrumpCast.
Thank you for having me back.
You and I usually try to keep it upbeat, but I almost don't want to try today. Yeah. I just feel so bleak.
I feel there's a Groundhog Day quality where you get excited for these drip drips and then they just turn out to be drip drips. And, you know, the notion that something dispositive and determinative and, you know, that will change hearts and minds is coming has no longer, you know, it's just not going to be that. And so that I think that that's some of the bleakness is just knowing that this is just a Rorschach test that is going to confirm everybody's pre-existing ideas, and that Fox News, I could write the headline right now, complete and total exoneration.
You mean that you're talking about the Bill Barr's redaction of justice?
Yeah.
I already think it's a redaction of justice and another entry in obstruction. It's just, why bother calling it anything else?
Well, I mean, and I think interestingly, we're going to try, like, I think there's something so profound in meta, Virginia, about the fact that we're going to, like, read color-coded redactions for signs of what, like, that's what we're reduced to. We can't know facts, but we can know if it's a blue redaction.
Yeah.
That's just, it feels like it's a metaphor for everything somehow.
And I wonder if there's going to be anything carroted in, like he did do it with a little carrot, not do it. I mean, I've said this before, but it's like, you know, one of those, I've written panned books before and then seen a couple choice words taken out and made it look like a rave on the back of a book before, you know, this is amazingly bad. And then someone says, this is amazing. And there are ways that it looks like Barr's original excerpting of the Mueller report in his letter to Congress. Those excerpts seem weird.
They're
little
weird
examples of where they might have been done with intent to manipulate, even deceive about what's in the report.
Well, he walked it back within a week.
Right.
I mean, he already has said, oh, when I said it was a summary, I didn't mean it was a summary. And so I think you're already, you know, absent anything else, including whispers that there might be real material obstruction stuff that's in the, you know, final report. So I think clearly he's lost the trust of people like you and I on this podcast who said, look, whatever else he is, he's a, you know, institutional operator who has lifelong friendship with Mueller and cares about the Justice Department. I mean, you and I said that.
Yeah.
And I think that I was reading David Criss's piece in The Washington Post just saying the minute he started talking about spying, which maps perfectly onto what Donald Trump has been saying about spying.
Yes.
You know, he's all he's done is reconfirmed a narrative that only helps the presidents. And so, you know, you're left to sort of say, okay, so we'll read the tea leaves again, and we're going to try to determine whether he's in bad faith with the redactions.
Yeah.
But it just, there's this feeling of kind of Zeno's paradox, where you're just inching
That's
ever
the one
closer.
Where you're not there. Even
you never get
halfway.
There. You never
yeah, and,
get there.
And also, while we're waiting or, you know, working out this futile paradox, banging our heads up against the wall, it seems like the spire and the roof are collapsing or burned down of, you know, on so many other fronts in the country. But before we get to that bleakness, let's start with another bleakness, a little more comic, Michael Avenatti. So I need first to sort of eat my words. Well, I don't think there's specific words I need to eat, but I definitely am guilty of fleetingly having an idea that he might be our kind of Flight 93 moment of just like, look, I'm out of ideas. It looks like traditional media is out of ideas on how to confront an autocrat. It looks like the legal redress is slow. People, A, going by the book, aren't pulling this thing off. You know, I don't want to throw in with Antifa. So maybe, because we don't know this world where you hire Michael Cohen to shake down porn stars, and maybe that's a world that somebody else knows. And he looked like he dressed the part, and, you know, he looked like at least he was team good guy. He was trying to sort of speak for children at the border. But ultimately, you know, it's like those restaurants that all share a kitchen in the East Village. He, like, just is in the same messy, murky world of bribes and quid pro quo and gouging all he can out of the system. And it just, God, nothing has made more of a moral prude of me than this time. I mean, I just keep coming on the show and being like, these people are liars. Like Jimmy Stewart. I just, every time, I just am astonished. And also, I think now that maybe people who drive Ferraris are never good people. Is that fair? I mean, I just, as a short, you know, you need a way to thin slice.
Are you asking
slice.
For like a legal pronouncement on that question?
Yes.
Or like a moral pronouncement?
Well, it's like every time a woman turns up murdered, I'm just like, can we just say the husband did it? Because we can save due process on specific cases. So a person with a Ferrari is always bent and corrupt and dirty. Discuss.
I mean, I feel like the interesting thing about Avenatti, and I've been sort of tracking your vibing on him for, you know, since he emerged, is that we have this misperception that the anti-Trump was going to be the only thing that took down Trump. Like,
yes.
That he was going to use Trump's weapons to destroy the master's house,
yes.
Right? And that you just had to be a reality show grifter. You know, you had to be larger than life, and you had to talk smack and be all the stuff that Trump was, but like maybe slightly more deft.
Right.
That was the thesis. And I think it wasn't a bad thesis, because by God, it's not like we've seen, you know, sober men in suits taking him down. And
right.
So I think the mistake we made is, like, at the end of the day, grifter's gonna grift, you know?
Yeah.
We kind of got so enamored with the idea that if we could just find someone who was Trumpish, but on our side, then maybe Trump would get flat-footed because he's just not really good at this.
Yeah.
That was the error. And then it turns out that, like, if you're Trumpish, you're probably shaking people down for money too.
Right. That was our preview. Aren't you compelled to hear more? You can. Just sign up for Slate Plus at slate.com/TrumpCastPlus to listen to the full episode and get all our podcasts without ads. That's slate.com/TrumpCastPlus.
Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of 4 episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.